Chapter 5. With no further need for him on the now secure line set up by 1st Platoon, Reach returned to the array. Again he ran, and again he was amazed at how quickly he could cover ground. He found the men of 2nd Platoon, those not committed to helping the fight, busy clearing a landing zone for the boon.
"Sergeant Stang is on his way back with the prisoner," Nash reported. "Captain Bosa wants us to try and get him talking as soon as possible. See if we can find out Rupak's strength and intent."
Reach nodded, unsure if that meant he was expected to help or if the first sergeant was merely making conversation. He'd never been trained in prisoner interrogations, advanced or otherwise, but he hadn't been trained to do what he'd just done in the attack either. Ramirez appeared in the doorway of the comms array.
"We're ready to apply power.
Let's go have a look," Reach said to Nash. "If we're going to talk with the prisoner, may as well do it inside."
Nash followed like a protective bulldog.
"Those two better not blow us up."
Ramirez led the pair to Turner, who was pressed against an open control panel with one arm deep inside. All around his feet were broken pieces of wire, electrical components, and clumps of the green moss-like plant that seemed to be growing on everything.
"Still looks like you're working," Reach said.
"Negative," Turner said with a grunt. "Got my arm on the switch. Just say the word."
Reach and Nash exchanged looks.
"Do it. Let's see what we've got. Just don't kill yourself."
Turner nodded, moved his arm around a bit, grunted, and nearly fell over when a huge burst of sparks erupted from the panel.
"It's fine," he said, holding up a hand to keep anyone from approaching. "I knew it would do that. Like I said, creative engineering."
There was an electric hum, and then the interior lights flickered to life, dipping in and out until staying on, albeit nowhere near full power. It felt like there was a dimmer switch someone had turned down low. Turner looked around the room.
"No fires. Yeah, I think it's working. Here, Ramirez, help me get the cover back on."
Ramirez pointed to a display.
"Hey, look at that."
Turner looked, then turned to Ramirez.
"Does that mean what I think it means?"
"Normally I'd say yeah, man, but not now. No way."
The two went quiet, clearly in thought.
"Then again, what's that?"
He pointed to something else. Turner shrugged.
"No clue. I've never seen anything like it before." "Hey," Nash said, snapping his fingers in front of their faces. "What are you two so concerned about?"
They both turned to Reach and started talking at the same time. Reach held up a hand.
One at a time.
"Well,"
the comms operator began, attempting to scratch the back of his head only to be thwarted by his helmet.
"It looks like there's been some kind of modification made to the system."
"Modification?"
"Maybe an enhancement. Cryptographic stuff." "Which is it?" Nash asked.
Turner bared his teeth nervously.
I don't know. I've never seen anything like it before. It's new. But it looks really old at the same time. Like it's been here forever."
"Ramirez," Nash prompted.
"Same, First Sergeant," the corporal replied. "And there's also, it's probably a malfunction. Something we didn't hook up quite right. Gotta be. There's no other explanation."
"Still waiting on the first explanation," Nash growled.
"Yes, First Sergeant," Ramirez said,
but he looked no closer to being able to give an answer. Reach stepped forward and examined the screen. He'd never seen it before, and yet he found he knew perfectly well what it was and what it did.
"This is where we got our comm feeds from Earth. It says we have a message."
Nash looked at Reach.
"What the hell did you do back in the Marines?"
"Doesn't matter. We were all riflemen."
Ramirez grunted a laugh.
"You must have done some high-tech stuff once you got out then, because this is cutting-edge technology. I only got to learn about it when I was selected for this mission." "Nope," Reach said. "When I got out, I tried to start one of those veteran t-shirt companies. Didn't work out."
"Well, you're right. It's a message," Turner said. "And the only one capable of sending it is CENTCOM. No date, but given the time for these to relay,
It would have to be a while ago. What would they even say?
We lost. Give the keys to Rupak, Ramirez joked.
That ain't funny, scolded Nash.
Reach let out a sigh. He couldn't think of a situation where whatever was coming through would be good news.
Let's find out what's waiting for us.
Nash and the two Rangers retreated, and Reach brought Alexa and Captain Bosa on comm before approaching the screen. He typed on a filthy, hard-mounted keyboard using pass keys and authorization codes that he couldn't recite if you asked him, the way someone might go back to a high school locker and just know the right way to turn the lock. Muscle memory.
You got it up?
Captain Bosa asked. The man sounded anxious, and Reach understood why. It was possible this would just be a simple welcome to Amir, glad you didn't die message, but something about the way things were going when they left, and then Rupak beating them all to the planet, had to be putting the captain on edge. Reach felt it too.
Here it is, sir. CENTCOM, redacted. Receipt, redacted. Transmission not received. Redacted Longmire en route. Muir launched. Redacted, can't recall. Avenge us.
Reach sighed deeply.
That mean anything to you?
Most of it, said Bosa. Longmire we know about. Muir must be the name of the first colonist ship. But the rest of it?
Avenge us?
And what transmission are they talking about?
I was thinking that too, sir. And why the need to redact while still saying avenge us? I can't think of a way to end a letter like that and have it be anything but bad news.
Copy that, Reach. Let's focus on what we can control. Array is up, perimeter is secure. Work on clearing the landing site so we can get CO ready for next phase.
Yes, Captain. One more thing.
Go ahead.
Can you check out navigation data with relevant space charts? Are we when we're supposed to be?
There was a long pause before Captain Bosa spoke.
Let me look into it. Hatch it out.
Reach read the message again. When he lifted his eyes, he found Nash staring at him with a look of deep concern. Reach brought up the First Sergeant on a private channel.
What's on your mind, First Sergeant?
Mainly the look on your face. Whatever that message was, you ain't making it look like it was good news.
Reach sniffed and tried to even out his expression. The others were watching him as well, he knew, and were likely drawing the same conclusion. But he didn't have anything to tell them yet, if ever.
I'm going to fill you in on what the message said for a few reasons, First Sergeant. First, I'm not sure exactly what it means. You've got a good perspective on things, and I'd value your take. Second, I'm the highest-ranking civilian on this colony, which makes me the planetary governor, if my civics class taught me anything. Finally, Captain Bosa didn't say I couldn't.
Nash chuckled.
I've seen that last line of thinking ruin its fair share of careers.
It was Reach's turn to laugh.
I've got my DD-214. Worry about your own career.
Let's hear it,
Nash said. Reach recited the message to the platoon sergeant. Nash looked away in thought, squinting his eyes.
What transmission do they mean?
I don't know. We just got here, after all.
Right,
Nash said, drawing the word out.
It says they've launched Longmire and Muir. Those both gotta be follow-on ships. We expect one soon, but two would be a rush. Why launch them together?
I think we both know the answer, Reach said, meeting the First Sergeant's eyes. Things are, or were, going bad back home. Why else would they deviate from their schedule? The U.S. must have been losing the war against the Rupak. They launched early to try to save as many as they could.
Or they've launched nukes and the whole planet's gonna be covered in ice soon. Shit.
Reach raised a hand and motioned for the First Sergeant to let that thought go. If that were the case, why be purposefully obtuse? Besides, we couldn't do anything either way.
Maybe the Rupak launched a ship, too. Maybe the Muir is theirs. Sounds Russian to me.
Still seems odd. Why not say that? Doesn't fit the context.
Nash sighed.
Well, I'm at a loss.
I'll ask Alexa. Let me know when the prisoner arrives.
The first sergeant nodded and went back to his ad hoc duties, which had expanded considerably beyond bullets and beans, given what had befallen his company.
Alexa, hey, tell me what you make of that message. You were being awfully quiet when I had Captain Bosa on the line.
She ignored the observation.
It's difficult to verify the authenticity of the message, at least until I can move about Camp Ohio's systems directly.
That wasn't much help. Reach tried to button her down on some specifics. Two ships are listed, Longmire and Muir. Are they both ours?
Unknown.
For Muir, you mean?
For either.
Reach knew for a fact that Longmire was a United States colony ship, had read the orders himself.
Weren't you provided with the mission parameters before we launched from Earth?
Not that I am aware of, but it is possible.
Possible how?
I appear to be missing the data necessary to confirm one way or the other.
That was concerning. There was more going on here than met the eye.
Alexa, did we arrive on time? You heard what I asked Bosa. The planetary orbit and stellar charts. Are they how they're supposed to be?
I don't have any indication that we have spent anything more than the 40 years expected for this voyage.
That sounds like an evasion.
There was a pause.
I'm not sure what to say. I don't have that data.
Reach stifled a sigh. This was a far different conversational dynamic than he'd grown accustomed to with the AI. It wasn't right. This felt like something to let Captain Bosa know about so he could notify Dr. Roman, assuming the scientist didn't already know.
All right. Thanks for your help, Alexa.
Of course.
He was about to contact the captain again when First Squad returned with the Rupak prisoner. His features suggested some combination of Russian and Chinese heritage, and he was so skinny it was a miracle he'd been able to fight at all. His clothes were a ragged mishmash of several sets of Rupak uniforms, a camo sampler of different environs, along with what looked like animal skins? All of it assembled hastily and without much skill. He was escorted in meekly enough, but it looked like he'd put up a fight somewhere along the way. One of his eyes was nearly swollen shut, the other was bloodshot. He had red abrasions around his dirt-caked neck and chest.
"Is that from us?" Reach asked.
He knew the Rangers were trained in MACP. They damn well knew how to grapple so as not to damage a potential asset.
"Negative," answered Sergeant Stanga. "Someone else kicked his ass before we got to him."
Rupak motivation. Added PFC Marks.
"Bring him here," Reach ordered, unsure exactly what he was planning to do with the man. The prisoner was half carried, half dragged to him. The soldiers dropped the man at his feet and took a step back, rifles at the ready.
"Fella looks a little rough," Reach observed to the first sergeant. "I'm just glad our helmets filter the air," Nash said. "He probably smells like garbage water."
"You fought Rupak on Earth. Is this condition common for their troops?" Reach asked.
"Doesn't match the propaganda videos of goose-stepping soldiers marching in front of tanks."
"No, nothing like this. Rupak soldiers are usually like us. If they don't have access to real hygiene equipment, they make do. But this fella's let himself go."
Nash frowned at the complete lack of discipline before him.
"I ain't never seen anything like this."
Reach faced the soldier.
"What's your name?"
The prisoner raised his arms to cover his head. The skin on his arms was streaked with dirt and perspiration, a sort of dusty tiger striping. His fingernails were long or jagged where the nails had broken.
"Hey," Nash said, bending down to yell in the man's face. "When a United States representative speaks to you, you will answer."
The man didn't move.
"He didn't say nothing to us either," Stanga offered. "Probably doesn't speak English."
"Not all of them do."
Reach looked to the comms officer.
"Turner, you speak Mandarin, right?"
Though Reach had no way of knowing that, he wasn't surprised when Turner answered,
"Yes, sir."
"Bro, you need to speak caveman to get through to this cat," Ramirez quipped.
Reach ignored the comment.
"See if you can get this guy to talk."
Turner squatted low in front of the man and spoke. Sometimes it sounded like he was yelling, other times speaking softly. But no matter what he said or how he said it, the prisoner didn't answer. After a time, Reach realized that he was following the conversation. He didn't speak any other languages. In fact, he'd failed Spanish in high school. Yet now here he was, picking up on the subtleties of what was to him an infinitely more complicated language. Another of Alexa's upgrades, apparently. Turner finally stood up and shrugged.
Either this guy's stubborn as they get, or he doesn't speak Mandarin.
Who do we have who speaks Russian? Reach asked, half wondering if he could pull it off himself. Sergeant Nash was quick with the answer.
Kelly and Brown.
Turner, find one of them and get him in here. The comms operator returned 2 minutes later with Corporal Richard Kelly, a big corn husker who grew up on a farm just outside Omaha. He'd enlisted after high school, and how he'd picked up Russian was a story Reach didn't know. Guess that wasn't part of the profile. I was spoon-fed while in cryo.
I'm here first, Sergeant,
the big soldier said, glancing down at the prisoner with a look of disgust. How good's your Russian? Reach asked.
Good enough for the dinner table. Mother's side were Alexei's, sir.
Find out what this guy's name is. Kelly began barking orders at the Rupak soldier, who flinched with every syllable.
Yeah, that's a hard copy, said Nash. Our boy Kelly is Rosetta Stone.
The prisoner lifted his head at something Kelly said, his face making it clear that it was insulting. He spat a glob of phlegm at Kelly's feet.
Dude spitting soy sauce, said Ramirez, eliciting a smile from Turner.
Kelly was angry.
Permission to kick the prisoner's teeth in?
Negative, Reach replied.
What did he say?
I want to know what Kel said, Ramirez piped in. Nash rounded on the soldier.
Stow it, Ramirez. Get outside and help clear the LZ.
Yes, First Sergeant. Ramirez jogged out of the array. Kelly shrugged.
I mean, I'm not really sure. It kinda sounded like he's accusing my parents of never getting married. Something like that. But he talks funny.
What do you mean?
Well, it's like he speaks a weird dialect. It's Russian, but I think it has some borrowed and bastardized words. Maybe they blended in some Chinese or something. Not Mandarin, Turner said, but I know what you mean. A few of the words sounded like a different Chinese dialect, and I heard enough Farsi over in the sandbox to swear some of that was there too. Where's his gear? Asked Nash.
Turner raised a hand.
Saw it outside with Dunn, Sarn. Dunn, Nash bellowed. Bring that commie shit in here.
PFC Dunn appeared with a ragged ruck, worn thin, some of its contents threatening to bulge their way through the breach, and a rifle that looked anything but standard issue for Rupak. The private dropped the ruck at his sergeant's feet and held out the weapon for inspection.
Here's his weapon. This one still works, but most of the others captured don't.
Reach looked at the weapon. It was heavy and boxy. There were a lot of familiar features. A grip, sights, trigger, rails, though nothing was mounted on those. But no obvious magazine or magazine well.
Were they all carrying these, Private Dunn?
Maybe half, sir.
Nash took the weapon and carefully inspected it before shouldering the thing and peering down its sights.
It's a rifle for sure, but damned if I know what type.
It's a Gauss rifle, Reach said,
the knowledge coming from that hidden place like all the rest. He didn't know how he knew, he just knew.
Army has had these in development for a while. They take enormous amounts of power, which has delayed production and issue.
T-shirt company, huh?
Nash grumbled.
Right. Well, looks like the Rupak scientists managed.
Turner raised his eyebrows.
These things can't be cheap.
Negative, said Reach. Batteries alone are probably worth more than a car.
This wasn't adding up, and that was gnawing at him.
So why does Rupak give him to these guys?
He motioned to the skinny, shivering enemy soldier kneeling on the floor in front of them.
Rupak can afford this weapon system, but is sending ships ahead of us that can't even keep... I don't know how many men provisioned.
Kelly, try to find out their numbers.
Yes, sir.
While Kelly addressed the prisoner, Reach used the implant to have a private conversation with Nash.
How the hell early were these bastards, Sergeant? Because last time we checked, the Boone was moving about as fast as modern science knew to be possible.
Roman told me he was going to push us even faster than the mission planned for, and we're still beat to the finish line by long enough for these guys to be patching their clothes with animal skins.
Nash considered for a few seconds before answering.
I'm more wondering, who are these guys? My first guess was that these fools were some kind of special forces unit. But looking at him, I can't say I believe that anymore. This guy looks half-starved, and I gotta think Rupak SF could do a better job living off the land, even alien land, than this. I bet he's regular army. Probably infantry, but without any proper training. He's just a bullet catcher Rupak launched last minute.
Kelly swore.
He's not saying anything else.
Nash rocked back on his heels and crossed his arms.
Well, I think the captain's gonna want to know about this. I suppose that's on you, Reach?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Call him, Nash said. Bosa told me to follow your lead. You ain't steered us wrong yet.
Reach switched to his private communications channel with his commander. He had been hoping to provide something more to report.
Hatchet 02, we have finished initial interrogation of a Rupak prisoner. Are you available for a preliminary report?
I am,
Bosa replied.
I was just about to check in on you. I'm patching in Sherman as well. Stand by.
A few seconds later, he continued.
Sherman, I've got you and Mr. Reach patched in. What's the status down there?
Reach can go first, Sherman said.
Sure, Reach said.
Is Lieutenant Sherman aware of the message from CENTCOM? I filled him in, Bosa said.
Roger. I tried running some of it through Alexa, but she can't make heads or tails of it. In fact, she claims to have significant data loss.
The extent of damage to the AI is more than we anticipated, Bosa said. Let's go into that later. What have you gotten from the prisoner?
Roger that. Rupak POW is half-starved, filthy, and carrying a rifle we've never seen before. Everything in his kit looks salvaged or handmade except for that rifle. Our best assessment is that it's a magnetic weapon known as a Gauss rifle, sir.
I concur, Sherman added. At least half of the troops we encountered were carrying one of those things. Did the prisoner give any intel?
Negative, Reach confessed. We're able to communicate using Russian, but his dialect appears to be some kind of hybrid. He understands, but isn't talking.
Captain Bosa didn't sound surprised.
Mr. Reach, keep the prisoner secure for the time being. Once we get things settled and get him cleaned up, he might be a bit more forthcoming. We all know how Rupak propaganda paints United States soldiers. We're demonic baby eaters intent on taking their women and killing their children. We'll change that impression and get good intel if there is any.
Understood, Captain, said Reach, motioning for the guards to take the prisoner back outside.
We've started clearing landing sites for the heavy equipment and badgers. Other than that, we're just waiting to collect air samples to make sure the Atmo is as safe as we once thought it was.
I see, Bosa said.
He sounded like he was about to add something more, but apparently thought better of it.
Keep me informed. We'll send the supplies down as soon as you're ready. Hatchet, out.
The conversation over, Reach relayed to Sergeant Nash the need to make sure the LZ was cleared sooner rather than later. Turner gave a list of technical details that needed looking after inside the array and asked for Ramirez to pretty please be allowed back inside.
I'll send him back in, Reach said. I'm on my way out anyway.
As he stepped outside, he spotted the Rupak dead in the no man's zone where they'd popped smoke and repulsed Rupak's final charge. A body detail was bringing more in, but as it stood, the corpses were stacked 3 men high, about 30 bodies in total. None of them looked uniform. Only one was wearing proper combat boots. The rest were wearing sandals that looked like they'd been woven from some sort of reed-like plant. All in all, they matched the profile of the prisoner. Reach shook his head, found Ramirez, and hitched a thumb over his shoulder.
Once you're done moving that rock, Turner wants your help inside. Stoneput was my best event at the Family Highland Games, you know. This is a breeze.
You're Mexican, Ramirez.
Only by birth. I got adopted Scottish, and me and my tartan never look back.
Reach shook his head and smiled. He felt a buzz from his implant. Captain Bosa, which was odd so soon after just speaking.
Go for Hatchet 02.
Wanted to talk to you directly. First, give me an honest assessment of how things are looking down there. We need to get the Boon down to the planet soon. We're sitting ducks if Rupak has a weapons-capable vessel nearby.
Just heading out of the array building, Captain. I'll get a no-bullshit timeline soon.
Can I calm you as soon as I know more? That'll be fine. But make haste. I've got some new information, and it's better communicated in person. That said, if the landing is going to be delayed too long, we'll just have to deal the cards over comms. Hatch it out.
Reach looked around the camp. According to the mission briefings Reach was never in on, but now knew, and the maps he'd never studied but could now recall clearly. The center of the camp was supposed to include a warehouse where the building supplies would be stored. But turning to look in that direction now, he saw that the warehouse was empty, its swing doors gaping wide, shafts of sunlight brightening a leaf-scattered and dirt-swept floor. An unsettling feeling came over him. Camp Ohio was never meant to be inhabited by Rupak or anyone else prior to Boone's arrival. But that didn't mean it should feel like a ghost town. And that was what this place was. Desolate. Haunted. Reach squatted to inspect the soil. Dark. Rich. Loamy. It would be perfect for planting. But two spots stood out. One spot was the same dark topsoil that was everywhere, but it almost glimmered. The other was a light patch, reminiscent of sand, but much less dense than any beach he'd ever been to. Reach scooped some of the dark soil into his glove and brought it close to his faceplate to get a better look. It was fine to the point of being powdery and had some kind of crystalline granules in it. That was what was causing the sparkle. But it seemed unique to this particular patch of dirt. The rest didn't shine. He rubbed the dirt between his fingers before letting it slip out of his hands. And then Reach noticed another discoloration in the dirt. He stooped for a closer look and uncovered a red rusted bolt and nut. A big one, the type used in the construction of the camp's prefabs. Rooting around, he found more. Soon, like a surveyor, he was walking the recent killing field. Something had been here. A building. So, Reach whispered to himself, why is it gone now?